Ben and Kelly Show.
Quick question, Kelly.
Uh-huh.
Is there a food item or a grocery item that you always go for the name brand? You never buy the generic or knockoff?
Yes, fruit cups. Like mandarin oranges and the little like cherry mixed fruit cups.
Does it have to be like what? Dole?
It has to be Dole. Okay. 100% juice.
Okay.
Because the kids know the difference.
Really?
Yes. 100%. I've tried to do like the store brand.
Yeah.
Or even any other name brand. Nope. It must be Dole and it must be 100% juice.
Okay. For me, I think ice cream. For me, like generic store brand ice cream, I'm just like, no, miss me with that. I'm not wasting the calories. I want the name brand ice cream that I recognize, the Ben and Jerry's, the Graters.
Okay, I was going to say, there's a ton of brand names, so which one is it?
Yeah, like the Ben and Jerry's, the Graters, Jenny's ice cream, you know, okay. So some of that name brand ice cream. But then Sterling Riggs, our buddy over at DRB, was like, got to do peanut butter, and it's got to be Jif. Never doing knockoff peanut butter. It's always peanut butter. And you know what?
Extra crunchy.
That's got to be a close second for me, mm-hmm. I think, as well. Even though I do find myself, I'm okay with knockoff peanut butter because I feel like sometimes peanut butter is peanut butter. But especially if I'm getting the stir kind, then it's got to be like the name brand peanut butter. So
okay. Premium. Now I will say this: there are some things where the store brand is our favorite. Like mm-hmm. we love the Meyer brand mixed berry applesauce cups.
So
delicious.
Jennifer,
so I'll buy that. I will not buy name brand of that.
Jennifer rolls in and says Heinz ketchup, hands down. Never going generic ketchup.
Okay, sure.
Foggy tweets Kraft American cheese has got to be Kraft.
Yeah.
On the American cheese, and again Heinz ketchup. So people aren't going knockoff ketchup. It's got to be the Heinz ketchup.
It's got to be the good stuff, for sure. And do they even make any other name brands of cheese? It's only Kraft, right?
Katie says, Oreos, don't even come at me with those Hydrox cookies.
Oh, yeah, the generic ones, yeah. You know what? I've never actually been bold enough to try the generics, to be honest.
Heather says, Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
If I'm going to go Pop-Tarts, I'm going to go name brand, I think.
Yes, 100%. And Hot Fudge Sundae is the favorite.
We have gotten into so many discussions about this, and you're wrong. Sorry, that is an incorrect answer. Hot Fudge Sundae Pop-Tart is trash. It's got to be brown cinnamon sugar. So
that's like dessert.
Hi, my name is Ben. That's Kelly.
Hi.
She has two dogs. I have a dog and cats. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen how cats walk around. They prance with their tails up and you can see their booty hole, right? It just kind
okay,
of
so yeah,
pointing
it's on
right
display.
At you. Yeah, absolutely. Just pointing right at you.
Same with our pugs. I mean, they have their little tails that curl up.
Sure.
And they prance around too.
So do you ever wonder how many parts of your house your animal may be touching with its butt?
No, sir. And I don't want to start, but now I am. Thanks.
So
thanks for that.
Yep. So when you come to the show, you come obviously for the laughs and for the good times, but then you also need to come for the science and the learning and the education. And this is where we come in. Thanks to sixth grader out of Tennessee named Caden Griffin, who decided to do God's work and tackle this question for his science fair project.
Come on. A school project? We're trying to find out how many places a cat's booty hole touches? Seriously?
Yeah. The project is titled, Does Your Cat's Booty Hole Really Touch All the Surfaces in Your Home?
Oh my God.
How do you think he ran this experiment?
I don't know. I guess you just follow your cat around all day long, right?
Listen to this. Listen to this. It's so good. He put non-toxic lipstick on his cat's booty.
No.
And then just kept track of where the little kiss marks showed up around the house.
Oh, my God. Wait a second. Did he get his mom to sign off on this? Because we have a very light-colored couch, a very expensive light-colored couch. And if there was a bunch of lipstick marks on the couch, oh, wow.
So I bet you're dying to know the results.
Okay, what's the results? Okay. It was like everywhere, right? Everywhere.
All right. So there were two main results. Cats with long hair and medium hair and cats with short hair. Okay. So this is the question, thanks to sixth grader out of Tennessee named Caden Griffin, which, by the way, if you want the visual to go along with this, it's on Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show. All right. The results are cats with long and medium hair didn't make any contact with hard or soft surfaces.
That's good news.
Uh-huh. Cats with short hair didn't make contact with hard surfaces, but there were smears of lipstick on soft surfaces, like the bed.
Okay. Yeah. So nestling in a little bit, this is nice and soft.
Yeah.
My booty.
My booty.
Nuzzle in. Yeah.
So, okay. I guess the good news, the science of all this, and what we can take away is that your cat isn't dragging its butt all over your house. But if you have a short-haired cat, not everything's safe.
Okay, like couches and beds, probably.
And your pillow. So,
Oh, God! I forgot about the pillow.
I just keep coming back to the application of the lipstick to the cat and how hysterical that must have been.
I mean, and like, again, did mom sign off on that? Because what if it got all over the couch?
No, I'm thinking what?
And you can't get that out.
What if you put the lipstick back and forget what color it was?
Oh my God, and then mom puts it on.
Mom's like, huh, I recognize this color somewhere. Oh yeah, it was smeared on the couch. Oh, it was on my cat's butt. Oh! At Ben and Kelly Show on Facebook. We try to give you setting the bar stories, which, you know, help show you and guide you through your day as to examples of how not to live it. All right.
Yeah. Small little hurdles you can jump over. We're pretty confident.
Yeah. This involves kidnapping, ransom, cheesecake. Let's get to it. If you can manage to make it through the day without kidnapping a garden gnome from a beloved Scottish cafe demanding cheesecake for its return, you're doing okay.
Oh, wow. That is a lot. That... Really? They kidnapped a garden gnome?
Yeah, so this cafe has a garden gnome. It went missing a few weeks ago. Then recently got a sort of ransom note. The ransom note read, and the only reason we know is because the cafe posted the picture of the ransom note on its Facebook page. It read, "We have your gnome. If you want to see him again, leave two cheesecakes when you shut the cafe. We will be watching."
Oh, wow. So they just wanted a couple of cheesecakes left outside the door. After they lock up, maybe you might see Mr. Gnomeo again.
Yeah, so the cafe is like, you know what? Our cheesecakes are kind of in high demand, and they sell out a lot. So we're going to instead give them shortbread. And just so they left a note that said, "Kidnappers, your treasure awaits." And so then they received another note back from the kidnappers saying...
He thinks they're not going to like that.
Yeah, they didn't like the shortbread. They said, "We asked for cheesecake."
Oh, no.
And then demanded...
Wait a second. What about the gnome? Is the gnome upset that the cafe isn't immediately bowing to their demands?
If I were the gnome, I probably would be. Yeah.
I would be insulted.
Yeah. The kidnappers said, the gnome nappers, if you will, said, you know, you got another 24 hours. Otherwise, your gnome gets, quote, dusty binned.
Oh, and the picture they included on that note is not good. He is shattered.
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's very scary.
So the cafe was not going to be intimidated, and they left another note and posted the picture on Facebook saying, "We will not negotiate with gnome nappers." There is no, their original gnome has not yet returned as of this time.
And in a cruel twist, they got another gnome.
Yeah, they did get another gnome almost. And if I were that other gnome, I'd be like, guys, I'm like bait. I feel like bait here.
Yeah, I would be a little nervous to be posting up in front of the cafe when stuff like that's going down.
Right. So, again, there are no leads on the gnome nappers at this point. There is no word yet on if there is going to be another ransom note or another gnome napping in the future. But all we know is that the cheesecake must be fire at that butternut squash cafe in Scotland.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes. But you know what? This one strikes close to home because, you know, we have a garden gnome. And thank goodness no one has tried to swipe him from us. think he's living in my office.
I don't know if you have the cheesecake that would satisfy.
Oh, I don't.
Any sort of gnome nappers.
Nope.
No, I didn't think so.
I don't have anything that delicious to offer up.
So again, if you can manage to make it through the day without kidnapping a poor little garden gnome from a Scottish cafe demanding cheesecake in return, you're doing okay.
I mean, stealing's bad, but this little back and forth has been fun. I got to be honest.
We'll tweet the exchange so you can follow along as well at Ben and Kelly Show. That is Setting the Bar.
Here's what you got to look forward to on the Ben Davis and Kelly K Show.
All right, so remember yesterday we spoke to Greg, who had an issue with his new girlfriend and her seeming to lie about wearing glasses. And you're like, what's the big deal with that? Well, listen, we have an update already, and it's not from Greg. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Plus next, what are some of those foods for a first date that you should avoid? All right, maybe you're headed out on a first date this weekend. Got the list coming up next. Maybe you're excited because first date is in your future this week, and you're anticipating, you know, where you're going to go. Maybe you're trying to figure out like what restaurant you're going to go to or what you're going to eat or something like that. Well, it's pretty important what you choose because there can be good things and there can be bad things to eat on that first date.
Okay. Are we going to go through the bad first?
Should we?
Okay. Maybe. Let's get the bad news out of the way.
All right. So things to avoid on the first date, most of it being seafood. All right.
Okay.
Oysters being the number one food to avoid on a first date. They're
okay. Do they say why?
Tough to eat. And mussels, sushi, crab, lobster, curry, tuna steak, prawns, rib, and corn on the cobs. I think because they're messy.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah, corn on the cob, I mean, that gets stuck in your teeth.
Yeah.
There's really no, like, non-messy way to eat that. It's delicious.
I mean,
but, you know, eat that around people you're real comfortable with.
Yeah, and you may be thinking, oh, well, I thought oysters were, like, the food of love, you know? But
yeah.
Save it.
I've never had them, actually.
Save it for, you know, the third or fourth date, all right?
Okay.
All right, so what should you go and get on that first date? All right, food-wise, you know? Uh-huh. So if you're picking out a restaurant, you may want to pick out a restaurant that has one of these items in it. Number one on the list, we'll get to in just a sec. But we'll go with five, ice cream, perfect
Ooh,
food
okay.
on a first date.
I am
date.
On board with this
yeah.
list.
Steak, again, easy to eat. It's
yeah.
pretty simple. Salad being number three. Burgers are actually number two, which I think burgers are kind of messy, you know?
They can be. It like, depends on where you go. Like, if they're super extra juicy and stuff, like, yeah, they can be kind of messy, but delicious.
Yeah, delicious for sure. But I feel like that could be an awkward food to eat on a first date. But the
Especially if you're using, like, 50 napkins.
I know, which I do. I, like, I will take a bite of food, and then I'll wipe with a napkin, like, every single time.
Uh-huh.
And the number one food is pizza.
That's pretty easy. Universal.
It's pretty
Lots
easy.
Of people like pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's easy to eat. It's, I mean, I think that's the most important thing. It's easy to eat. It's not very messy. Everybody loves pizza.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think a lot of those items on that list are kind of universally liked.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to probably have a better chance of picking something that your date is going to be into. Is
yeah.
gonna like.
So there you go.
Enjoy.
So hopefully your first date goes well and you get that second date. But yeah, maybe some suggestions on cuisine.
Above everything, make sure you have some sort of an idea. Like, show up and act like you actually put some thought into the date. That will go a long way with the date as well. Because I, from experience, there's one time a guy showed up. We drove around for 2 hours trying to figure out where to eat.
Oh, gosh.
Because he had, like, no plan.
Yeah, I was going to say.
We ended up at McDonald's. And that was the only date I had with that guy.
Yeah, go figure. Ben and Kelly, good morning. 99.7 DJX. Heat advisories for today. Going to feel like 105. Could be the hottest day on record for Louisville so far this year here on 99.7 DJX. Coming up next, Kelly's going to somehow figure out how to make an earworm into a feel-good. Give you more on that on the way. And then remember yesterday, we spoke to a listener who
was all bent out of shape because his new girlfriend lied about wearing glasses. And he's like, if she's lying about this, what else would she lie to me about? Well, I have an update for you already. And it's not from him. Coming up, 15 minutes.
All right, feel good stories. Do them every hour throughout the morning here on 99.7 DJX. Kelly, please explain how an worm in an ear can possibly be a feel-good story.
Well, it's a little bit of a roller coaster.
Okay.
Go along with me.
Okay.
This happened back in November 2019, but we know about it because Gemma Tyson, she's British.
Okay.
Is just sharing it on Facebook.
Gotcha.
Her 10-year-old son, Ashton, was complaining about an itchy ear.
All right.
So, like, you know, initially she's thinking it's probably just a big ball of wax, reached in there with some tweezers, and then started pulling something out like a magician's silk streamer.
Oh, God.
Yeah. She was like, it's a sticky, waxy texture. You couldn't pull it apart. She's like, oh, my God, I got a giant worm in his ear. Yeah. Right? Head to the medical center straight away.
Yeah.
Doctors stumped.
Oh, gosh.
Sent it to the lab for testing.
Okay.
She left still freaking out. Her child's got huge worms in his ears.
Oh,
like,
God.
What do you do with that? Diagnosis came a few hours later when Ashton was all like, hey, I wonder if that's the tape I put in my ear the other week because I couldn't get it out.
Wait, what do you mean tape?
He had inserted a rolled up piece of masking tape into his ear. Didn't think to tell his parents until after the doctor's appointment.
It was tape?
It was tape.
What?
See, that's a feel-good part. It wasn't a worm.
Oh, my God.
Yay.
I'm not going to ask why he put tape in his ear because, you know, little kids, because,
exactly.
You know, whatever.
Well, he's at this point, he was probably 8. So, anyway, sharing it because hoping, like the tape, it's a lesson that will stick in his head in the future.
All right.
Okay. And a lesson to all other children, don't put tape in your ears.
There you go.
Don't put anything else for that matter.
Yes.
Or up your nose.
Yes.
There's an entire board of things that people have extracted from children at Norton Children's Hospital out of noses, ears, all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, like my brother-in-law, he stuck a pine cone up his nose the wrong way. So they couldn't pull it out because, you know, pine cones, they have the little barbs on them. They kind of flare out.
Oh.
So they had to go to the doctor and get it removed.
Oh, wow. Okay, see, this is a little life lesson.
Okay.
Don't do that. Thank goodness it wasn't a worm. It's just tape.
And so that's your feel-good.
It's a feel-good life lesson. Parenting Corner on DJX.
I'm going to echo the sentiments of this person who texted in. Kelly, I think you need to look somewhere else for your these stories.
Listen, some days it's a little bit of a struggle.
All right.
I stretched the category a little bit, but
sure.
Can we all agree it's good the kid didn't have a giant worm in his ear? I think we can all agree on that.
Sure, we can agree on that. All right, that's your feel-good.
Can we agree?
99.7 DJX. So yesterday we talked to Greg, and Greg was bothered and was ready to end it all with his new girlfriend of a couple months over the fact that she's pretending to need glasses when she doesn't, in his own words.
You know, and I feel like I was lied to because, I mean, who walks around wearing fake glasses? Like nobody does, you know what I mean? Like, it's not all the time. I can understand if you're doing like a modeling show or something, but all the time, it's crazy. And to me, it's okay, if she's lying about that, you know, what else is she hiding from me?
Yeah, and she apparently even told him once that she wore contacts, and now he's paranoid that if she's, you know, lying about that, what else could she be lying about? And I'll say that a lot of people chimed in on Facebook at Ben and Kelly Show, both, you know, extremes. And there were a lot of people who honed in on the fact that when he talked to us originally and wrote us originally, he had described her, and I couldn't put my nose on it at the time, but he described her.
The not too skinny part?
Yes, not too skinny, not too chunky, but almost like it was his way of saying, oh, yeah, she's just like, I guess, I don't know, normal. But he could have said normal, and people are like, why did he even say that? It says so much about him, about Greg, than it does even his girlfriend.
Yeah.
It
seemed like unnecessary details.
It did, a little bit. And so people were like, hey, because of that and because he's so bothered by this, she needs to end it with him. And then others were like, no, any bit of lying like this, even if it's so minute, it adds up. And this is a red flag, you know, go.
I was curious as to why she felt the need that she couldn't be truthful with the fact she just wanted to wear glasses just for fashion.
So I got an email late last night, and it's from Glasses Girl.
Okay.
And I guarantee you're not ready for what it has to say. All right, ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, it says, hey, guys. I'm emailing you from an account I just set up that I plan on deleting right after.
Why? What is happening? There's so much secrecy.
I think I'm the glasses girl you were all talking about on your show. I heard you.
Okay.
I heard you talking to Greg. That's not his name, by the way. And recognized his voice right away. I think it's funny he's hung up on the fact that I wear fashion glasses. I just want to say two things. One, regardless of what I'm about to say, if he's that freaked out that I pretend to wear glasses, something that plenty of women do, then maybe he's not the right guy for me.
Okay.
You see, it's very hard for me to date and to see men because of what I'm about to say.
Okay, wow. Okay, what's happening?
I'm in the witness protection program.
What? What is happening?
She goes on. I will not explain to you why, but I've been in hiding for the last 5 years.
Oh my gosh.
Relationships have been tough because I move a lot. And this is very frustrating because he seemed like a great guy. I'm happy his family wanted to give me a chance because, as I said, it's extremely hard to be open and honest with a guy I meet when I have this huge secret.
Well, yes. I mean, I didn't even know the rules of that. Like, is she even allowed to meet other people? Like, what? I feel like witness protection program. You have to, like, be in a bunker somewhere or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works. This is crazy.
She continues, yes, the glasses are just part of my disguise. And guess what? Blonde isn't my real hair color either. If the glasses were so mind-blowing for him, imagine what he would do when he finds out I change my hair color every 6 months. Newsflash, I'm not the only woman who does these things. But my reasons are for my protection. I'm sorry to vent and rant to you guys, but hearing that just upset me because I'm trying. Thanks, and I love listening to your show.
Can I point something out that just hit my brain? She's so forthcoming with a radio program that she's in the witness protection program. Uh-huh. But don't you think maybe that's a fun fact to share with a potential date? I feel like that's important information to share.
I don't know.
With someone like, that you're going to allow to let into your life, your inner circle that may need protection.
There was a lot to unpack with that. So much so that my BS detector kind of flew up in the air when I started reading that originally. And then I was like, okay. And then I got it. Like I said, I got it last night. And then I slept on it. I read it again this morning. We've seen and heard a lot on this show.
We have.
Over the last several years. And, you know, witness protection program, you're right, is not something that I would have necessarily guessed. I don't know how it works. Yeah. I've never been a part of the witness protection program.
Kenna's not buying it. She's texting, I call BS. I don't know. I don't want to, like, call this person a liar.
Especially when she'd already been called a liar because of the glasses thing. Yes.
But I do feel like this is interesting information to share with a radio program. Yeah.
I know. You know, Leanne texts in and says, hey, does she realize that they can trace that account? Well, yeah, and maybe that's why she said she's emailing you from an account or emailing us from an account and then she's planning on deleting it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I've never been a part of the witness protection program, so I don't know how that works.
I've never known anyone who has. I know nothing about it or what that lifestyle entails.
If the witness protection program in Hollywood has any truth to it, then I know that you eat marinara sauce that tastes like ketchup on like elbow macaroni noodles and live in suburbia like in Goodfellas.
That's very specific.
I know. If you have any sort of comment, I'd welcome that because I don't know if anybody has any, knowledge of the witness protection program, but I certainly don't.
Back to Greg, though, I don't see a future.
I don't see a future either. No, I think they're done. I think it's written itself. My gosh.
I think the end of their story has been written.
Wow. Okay. All right. So 502-571-9970. I'd be curious to hear what you think. Man, we just got an update from a glasses girl, we'll call her. And she says the reason Greg saw her in glasses and maybe she didn't actually need glasses and Greg was all bothered by the fact that she didn't need glasses was the fact that she's in the witness protection program. Take that. Digest it. And that was a lot. And a lot of people, including myself, kind of my BS detector flew up in the air. And I was like, what? Get out of here. Why are you going to? And you even said, you're like, why are you going to tell a radio station you're in the witness protection program? Because what did a listener text?
Oh, Kyle said the first rule of witness protection program is to not talk about witness protection program.
Right. Okay, so Dave is on the phone. And man, Dave, you know about the witness protection program. What? Why do you think she did this?
I think one of the reasons why she would be more forthcoming with a radio station is mainly because you're a radio station, okay? So I'm from Houston, and I have a few family members that, you know, work. They're postal inspectors, they're cops, and one of them is a U.S. Marshal, but he's actually a fugitive task force. So
okay.
In that kind of issue, it's easier to tell somebody you're probably never going to meet, never going to see, than to tell someone that you potentially may be with, and then they break up. Now they have to move that person again, because if you break up, if you have a bad breakup,
yeah,
you get what I'm saying? Look at it from her point of view. If you're in a U.S. or if you're in witness protection, you're dating somebody, you are not 100% sure if you're going to be with that person for the rest of your life,
right. That's
something that you kind of have to keep to you versus you're texting somebody on a radio station and it's like, hey, you know, this is the reason why. You don't know what that person looks like. Obviously, you don't. You don't know what she sounds like. Right. Y'all don't know where she lives like.
Yeah.
So she's completely safe with telling you this. She knows that Greg listens to it. So that's her way of telling him telling him.
Dang. Hey, so someone texted in and said being in the program for 5 years is too long. There's no way she would.
No. People downside that program. I don't know who the heck would say that.
Okay.
But people will die in that program. They'll be buried in that program. So when you're in the program, and I'm going to be very honest with you, they don't just give you a new name. They give you an entire new identity, new social security number. In some cases, it's not, you know, uncommon for you to get a little plastic surgery done.
Yeah.
Little nose job, little nip tuck here, tuck there, you know, clipping off or here, you know, it's not uncommon. Depending on the reason why you're in the program, you know, depending on who's trying to come after you.
Wow, Dave, thank you. Thank you so much for the insight on that. I appreciate it, bud.
That is crazy. Wow. I get the hesitation of telling someone you're going to date, like, hey, FYI, fun fact. I feel like by hanging out with you, I might be in danger.
Yeah.
So maybe I don't.
And you know what? Dave brings up a good point that we don't know what she sounds like. We don't know what she looks like.
That's true.
We don't even.
It was just an email.
Just an email. Dang.
And now the address no longer exists.
Oh, my
gosh. Because she was going to delete it immediately after.
That is wild.
This is so bizarre. Like, I feel bad for her because what a way to live. I mean, she basically had to say goodbye to her entire former life.
Yeah.
And become someone new. And I'm sure, maybe.
Well, and she even said.
I'm sure she's safe is to look over her shoulder all the time.
Yeah. And she even said, she said, relationships have been tough because I move a lot and this is very frustrating. Yeah. And so that tugs at me a little bit. I'm like, you know.
That would be very difficult.
Wow. I didn't think we were going to go this far into, like, witness protection program. And Greg's original call was about him not liking the fact that she was lying about glasses, and then we got here.
Yeah, that was a lot. Like, that was a real big jump that I didn't see coming.
No.
And I still have so many questions.
All right. Well, if you want to hear the original call, and then we'll get the her response, if you missed that, posted on the podcast as well.
Book is closed on Greg. Yep. And glasses girl.
Yeah, yeah. We're not gonna assume that they're gonna go out anymore. And you know what?
No.
Listen, if you're hearing this now, this never happened. This never happened.
You don't even know us.
You don't even know us. You don't know us.
If we go in the witness protection program tomorrow, then you'll know what happens.
Job is exciting. It can be stressful. It can be fun. It can also be a little nerve-wracking, especially if it's your first job ever.
Okay, so we're talking about your daughters.
Yeah, Isabel and Sophia, they have babysat their entire life. They've done, they've gotten an allowance before. They've helped teach at their Irish dance school for, you know, payment and stuff like that. But this is their first venture into filling out a W-2, working for a boss, punching in, punching out, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah.
So yesterday was my daughter Isabella's first day on the job. And, you know, I sent her a text in the morning because, you know, she was supposed to be there at work at 9. And I was like, hey, good luck today on your first day of work. I'm proud of you. Give yourself enough time to get there on time. I love you. And, you know, she texted back, you know, I love you. I'm going to leave here at 8:30. Have plenty of time to get there, et cetera, whatever. So she got there in time. And that was like the first thing that I asked when I got home. I'm like, okay, what time did you get there? I'm like, I don't want you to be late on your first day. And so, you know, I was asking her, you know, tell me about your day. She was like, oh, okay. So, you know, I had some orientation stuff. I took a tour of like the facility and things like that. And then they just put me out on the floor. I was like, oh, okay.
What kind of work are we talking? Is this like so factory work or is this retail work?
It's like customer service. Yeah, I mean, I guess part of this business, there is a retail sort of aspect to it. All right.
Okay.
But there are, it's like a place where you would go and you would book tours and things like that.
Okay. Gotcha.
So she is like, and it's my first day. And so they're just like, okay, so here you go. This is what you can do. See ya.
And so
nothing like, you know, just getting kind of thrown into it. And I guess yesterday was a pretty busy day for them. And so there were a lot of people, you know, milling around. And so she was, you know, working the cash register and she was, you know, taking money and she was, you know, checking people out and everything. And then she got her first complaint.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
I guess a customer comes up and is like, excuse me.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You already know from the tone that he's not a happy customer.
I know. And so she's like, is this all there is? And kind of points behind Isabella to one of the more like attraction sort of aspects of this job.
Okay.
And Isabella's like, because she had literally just took a tour of it, was like, yeah, right here. She goes, okay, that is not what your brochure says.
Oh, no. And now she has to defend the brochure?
She is minutes old into this new job.
Oh, gosh.
New, like, work. Brand new industry. Brand new everything. And she's having to defend a company that she literally just got hired that day.
And ma'am, I was trained 5 minutes ago. I'm not sure if I'm qualified to handle your complaint.
And I was like, you know, Isabella's telling me about this. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what did you say? And she goes, and she had already said that if someone complains to come get the manager. And I'm like, yes, that's right, because you're not paid enough for that. That's their job to deal with that.
Let me get you the manager.
Right. And so she said, I'm sorry to hear that. And so at that time, I guess, her manager comes over and kind of saves her in the moment. And so maybe had been watching off to the side and was like, oh, I'll take care of this.
This is above my pay grade.
I know. But how stressful. First day of the job and you got to deal with complaints. And it's just like, man, I am not ready for this. Like,
well, I'm glad she didn't spout off saying, well, I didn't make the brochure.
I know, right? This, well, you know, quite honestly, they're stock photos. So, you know, it's who knows?
Quite honestly, your expectations are way too high.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So anyway, I was just like, hey, welcome to the next 50 years of your life.
Oh, gosh.
But yeah, so Sophia gets her first crack at it today.
Oh, let's hope. Let's hope that people are happy with the brochure and the experience they get.
I mean, you know, we get our first day on the air and we get complaints. You know, people, listeners will call in and be like, you're nothing like so-and-so. You know, or like, I'm never listening to this show again. So, I mean, every industry gets it. Every industry gets those complaint calls. Sure. But on the first day, it's always a little bit rough.
Please, everyone.
That's right. So, welcome, Isabella, to the working class. Sophia, your day is today.
TheBenAndKellyShow.com.
I'm just telling a story about how it was my daughter's first day on the job ever yesterday. It's my other daughter, Sophia's, first day today. We got a message from Steph. You were talking about your daughter having to deal with an unhappy customer on her first day of work. It reminded me of my first day delivering packages, dropping the box off at the first house, left the van in drive. Accident.
Oh my gosh.
Left the van in drive, jumped out to deliver the package, and boom.
Could you imagine that call that you have to make?
On the very first day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even think about that, but that might be a fun, like, little sharing corner. If you've got a great story about the first day on the job, like, what's the worst thing that happened to you on the first day of your new job?
That's a big one.
I know. We'd love to hear it. At Ben and Kelly Show. Steph, that's pretty good. That's literally like something that happened to my manager when I delivered papers back in the day. I had broken the window of a customer by throwing it through his window.
Oh my gosh.
And so my manager got called out to deal with that. And so as he jumps out of his car to deal with the customer that I had broken his window, he left his car in drive and it went through his garage. So not
the
only
the same customer that you broke his window and then broke his garage.
Yes. Oh, so not only
did he immediately unsubscribe from the newspaper because I think I would.
No, he didn't. He needed his daily news, I guess.
Oh, that's great.
Mike texts in, worked at a car wash. First day, got hit by a car pulling in.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Ouch.
I laugh because I'm assuming you're okay.
And then we get another text that says, I work primarily with elderly people. My first day, I see a gray-haired gentleman roaming the halls, looking a little lost. Uh-oh. So I ask if I can help him find anything. He was the owner of the company.
Oh. Excuse me.
Almost like an undercover boss situation.
And then this, we got a message from a listener. Yeah, I cussed out a customer and got fired at my first day. Oh my gosh. Listen, let's not cuss out customers ever, okay?
Oh, wow.
But on the first day?
I didn't know the story, like, did the customer deserve it?
Wow. Yeah, I was going to say, but did the customer deserve it?
I mean, let's hear the story. Right. What
did
they say?
Right, for sure. I think it's only natural that when you're in a relationship and you see others that are in a relationship, you kind of look at how their relationships are and the milestones that they're taking and you compare them to yourself. And if you're on the same path, even though it's important to know that you're writing your own book. And
yes, that is the thing. I think you can get into trouble if you start comparing yourself too much to other people, either their life, their relationships,
their career paths.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. You're writing your own book, so your path is going to take you in ways that it's not going to take other people. Now, saying
it's
all that
to you,
saying all that, let's see how you stack up.
Okay. All right.
Let's see how you stack up.
Put it to the test.
Yeah, for sure. So I just want to know, like, when you think of the big milestones in a relationship, you know, the first time you giggity giggity, you know, first time you get married, kids, all that stuff. What's the ideal timeline for all that stuff to happen? So there was someone who polled a bunch of people, and this is what they had to say, okay? So how average are you? Let's just get it out of the way. First time, you got it on. Home run.
Wow.
Made it home. Most popular answer was 1 month in.
1 month. Okay. So that seems to be average.
And so if I'm looking at my wife and my relationship.
And you are much younger, we should throw out there, too. Does that matter? Does age matter?
We're going with getting it on here.
Right. But yeah, when you first started dating, right? Back in the origins of Ben and Elizabeth?
Yeah, yeah. So we had, gosh, do I have to clarify this? I think I do. We had been friends for a long time. So we had been friends for about a year.
But then were you officially dating, though, or did that launch you into officially dating?
That launched us into officially dating. So it was like, it was like date one and one and done. So I would say that we were not average.
Okay, so it's like we are no longer just friends now.
Yeah, 17% said a week or less, and so I would fall into that category.
Okay, but you had this foundation, though, of this friendship and all of this tension that apparently had been brewing over time.
Just had to get it out of the way. Just all right.
Okay.
All right, the movie was great.
You kicked the tires pretty early on that.
It was like, the movie was great. Let's get to business now. All right, let's get this stuff out of the way. All right.
I want to say it was more like 3 or 4 months, maybe.
3 or 4 months for you. So you're holding out.
Yeah.
All right. So milestone check there. Relationship milestones. Saying the big three words, I love you.
Oh, okay. I didn't say that. Gosh.
So if you're average.
It was probably the second round because we dated for a little bit and then took a pause.
Uh-huh.
And then I think it was second round because I would not dare utter that. Until he did first.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was, you know, we were maybe 8 months.
Okay. So 60% said 6 months is appropriate for the I love you. Now
that makes sense.
Ah, man, I'm thinking again.
Will you date one?
To Elizabeth. No, not in the throes of passion. That wasn't uttered. No. But I'm thinking we again. So if that was September. Okay, I'm thinking. All right. If the dating started in end of September, I think that it was February when the I love you. What? So it was like, because I remember with my wife and I, we dipped the toe into the I love you by I love being with you.
You danced around it for a little bit, testing the waters.
And then wrote it in a card, and then there was the mixtape with the song that said, I think I'm in love with you. And like,
oh my God, you made her a mixtape?
Well, she did me. She did me first.
She did? That's so amazing.
I think she wrote it first, and then I said it first. So,
sweet.
But I think, I don't know, what is it, end of September, October, what's after October? November, December. January, February. So I was about 5 months.
That's always so nerve-wracking trying to figure out. Because, like, if you feel it, but then you're like, okay, can I say it?
I know. You are putting yourself out there.
That's a big one. Yep. That is a big one. It's a defining moment.
All right. So, man, I've got 6 more of these. I don't think we have time for all 6 of them. Relationship milestones. We can hit a couple of them real quick. So, like, first vacation together within a year. But
for sure.
Yeah. 6 months was the number one answer. Moving in together about the 1 year mark for a milestone for moving in together. Meeting each other's family. Top answer about 3 months in on that.
I was 3 weeks.
Oh, okay.
Because we started dating around like Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He knew that I didn't have family that lived here. And so he kind of like invited me to come to his family Thanksgiving, which was a little early in the relationship, but they were lovely.
Yeah.
So it was great.
Okay, so proposing. Big milestone for proposing. 1 to 3 years in was the number one answer, all right, for the milestone.
We met in October of 2004.
Yeah.
By February of 2006, he proposed.
So that's 2 years?
Yeah, so we dated until March of 2005, broke up until like November of 2005, then February of 2006, got engaged. Married October 06.
Yeah, I was definitely at the you gotta poop or get off the pot stage. Because I was about 5 years.
Oh, okay. But you were younger.
Yeah.
You were in your early 20s when you guys started getting together. We were much later. So as soon as we got engaged, 8 months later, we sold 2 houses, built 1, and got married.
Yeah. Get it all done.
Let's go.
All right. Last couple relationship milestones. Buying a home, perfect world, 1 to 3 years, which I think, man, that's quick. Buying a home together. And then having a baby. 2 years was the top answer.
Yeah, that's about right for us too.
Yeah.
If we're going to have kids, we should probably start because we're old.
Okay, then there you go. Post Malone dropping the new album today. Austin, 99.7, DJX, Ben Davis, Kelly K Show. Got a quick text from Katie. Said, my husband and I met October 2009, engaged April 2010, married May 2010, pregnant July 2010, kid born March 2011. Wow, wasting no time there. Like that. All right, hey, coming up next, it is the Battle of Jokes. You laugh, you lose. Brought to you by the Caravan Comedy Club. On the way after Miguel on 99.7 DJX.
Whoever laughs first loses. It's You Laugh, You Lose with Ben and Kelly on 99.7 DJX.
All right, those trumpets can only mean one thing. It's time for You Laugh, You Lose. The trophy goes to the winner. Whoever laughs first is the loser. The one that holds out gets this trophy. Yeah. I believe this is in your possession right now.
It is in my possession, and she is pretty. I am super excited.
It is You Laugh, You Lose. Losers go first. You ready, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Wait a second. You ready, Kelly?
A shout out to all my joke minions, Jacqueline, Keith, Lindsay.
It's nice that you have writers.
I do have writers. I have a writing staff. I really appreciate you all.
Kelly.
This is a team.
So what does the storm cloud wear under its raincoat?
What does a storm cloud wear under its raincoat?
Thunderwear!
Yeah, that's a good one.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
What do you call a redheaded ninja?
What do you call a redheaded ninja?
A ginger.
Yes, you do. Thank you. You know, told this chemistry joke before. I had a bad reaction.
Is there an ointment for that?
Apparently there's no punchline to this either.
Apparently not. Hey, Ben.
Yeah.
What do you call a fish wearing a bow tie?
What?
Sophisticated.
You do. Fun fact, Kelly. Fun fact.
Uh-huh.
Australia's biggest export is the boomerang.
Oh.
It's also their biggest import.
Because it comes right back. That's a good one.
Thank you.
That's a real good one. I like that one. That was cute. Hey, Ben. What kind of exercise do lazy people do?
What?
Diddly squats.
Hear that. Works out your buns.
Sure does.
Kelly, what's Jesus' favorite condiment?
What is Jesus' favorite condiment?
Miracle Whip.
Yes, it would be. It would be. That's good. Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
We all know about Murphy's Law, right?
Heard of it.
Anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But have you heard of Cole's Law?
I haven't.
Thinly sliced cabbage.
I hear it's delicious.
It is.
When you
quite
mix
tasty.
It, when you mix it with Miracle Whip.
Ooh, yes, indeed.
You laugh, you lose. Kelly, I tried to kill a spider by spraying it with a whole can of White Rain hairspray.
Oh, did it work?
Didn't work. Now it's wearing blue eyeshadow and chain-smoking Virginia Slims.
That's a good look. I love the 80s. That's a good one. Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Why do ducks have flat feet?
Why?
To stamp out fires. Hey, Ben, why do elephants have flat feet?
Why?
To stamp out burning ducks.
Oh. Okay. Speaking of elephants.
Yeah?
I used to have a job at the zoo circumcising the elephants.
Really? That's a special skill set.
Yeah, the pay was lousy, but the tips were huge.
Wow. That's a picture that you painted in my brain a little.
Mm-hmm.
Your veins are really popping out of your head right now. You're getting real red. Can you breathe?
Yeah, it's too laugh, you lose.
Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
A butcher in the butcher shop is 5 feet 10 inches tall. What does he weigh?
What?
Meat. He weighs meat.
Okay. Kelly, want to hear my Batman impression?
I do.
Oh, no, kryptonite.
That's Superman. The same universe, though. DC Universe. I'm proud of you for that.
Thanks. I've been practicing.
Gotcha.
You jumped on my punchline.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Oh, sorry. That's my bad. It was a really good one, though.
Thank you.
It was great. Hey, Ben.
Yep.
Do you know why you should not eat aluminum?
Why, Kelly?
You may sheet metal.
Kelly, why did the toilet paper roll down the hill?
Why did the toilet paper roll down the hill?
To get to the bottom.
Did you have to point?
Visual. Kelly, visual.
you've got many visual tricks today, sir.
Thank you.
Hey, Ben, a mushroom walks into a bar.
Yeah.
Bartender says, we don't serve mushrooms here.
Oh, no.
Mushroom says, why? I'm a fun guy.
Are we scraping the bottom of the barrel here?
A little. You want to tell your elephant one again?
No, we're going to let that one go. This is just one.
Okay.
Kelly, why was the squirrel doing the backstroke?
Why was the squirrel doing the backstroke?
Keep his nuts dry!
Why did you do that motion? Why? Why, sir? Nobody needed to see that. Nobody needed to see that. I knew when you got back there, you were working on some big gesture, and there it was. Oh, my Lord.
Well.
What?
All right, there you go. It's You Laugh, You Lose on 99.7 DJX. All right, hey, do me a favor. Tell me what you hear. Remember maybe a year or two ago, the internet was going crazy about whether you heard the words, you know, or saw, sorry, written like in script, Yanni versus Laurel. Or
yes.
You would hear certain things and you'd be like, it's all based on what you see written on the screen is kind of what you hear. This is kind of another thing that is going around TikTok right now. Do you hear Bart Simpson bouncing? Do you hear this soccer crowd cheering, rotating pirate ship? This isn't my receipt. Lobsters in motion. There's more, but you're like, how in the world does...
Those are all very different.
I know, but...
What is happening?
Listen.
Lobsters in motion.
Okay, so Bart Simpson bouncing?
Yes.
Lobsters in motion.
Okay, now, listen to it. Rotating pirate ship.
Lobsters in motion.
Rotating pirate ship.
Oh, wow.
This isn't my receipt.
Lobsters in motion.
Lobsters in motion.
Lobsters in motion.
Okay, so these are like different phrases of their chant.
No, they're saying
it's the same phrase?
Yeah, they're saying the same phrase, but...
The same phrase?
It's all what you hear. And again, no one knows what they're saying. This soccer crowd went viral on TikTok. That is embarrassing.
Lobsters in motion.
Yes.
Do you hear lactates in pharmacy?
Lobsters in motion.
OMG.
Or baptism piracy.
Holy cow. You're telling me that's the same phrase over and over
the same
and over again.
Phrase over and over
we're
again.
We're hearing it that differently every time.
I know. So that's kind of been going viral on TikTok. What is this soccer crowd chanting? Is it Bart Simpson bouncing? Rotating pirate ship? I mean,
now see that time Bart Simpson bouncing stuck in my brain every time I heard it.
What about I'm chasing Martian?
Lobsters in Martian.
I heard lactating on that one. Yeah. Lactating Martian is what I heard.
Lactating Martian could probably work too. We tweeted this video. You can watch it yourself and be just as confused. But yeah, that's been going viral on TikTok the past couple days. I saw it on a Reddit thread there. The internet can't decide whether they hear Bart Simpson bouncing.
That's what I heard.
Rotating pirate ship. Lactates in pharmacy. This isn't mercy. Lobsters in motion.
Lobsters in motion. Lobsters in motion.
Yeah, so.
Okay, I heard lobsters in motion that time because that was the last thing you said. I think whatever it is that you're telling me, that's what it is. That's exactly what I hear.
Frank messaged us and was like, I think the soccer crowd Ben was playing were actually chanting, this is embarrassing. Because British soccer fans often chant stuff like that when they're unhappy with their team's performance or their manager. So that makes sense.
Okay.
So this is embarrassing. Let's listen.
Lots is embarrassing. Lots is embarrassing. Lots is embarrassing.
Or that is embarrassing. Yeah.
No, I'm back to Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson bouncing. All right. All right. That's cool. All right. Well, thanks, Frank, for that clarification. But we tweeted that if you want to see it at Ben and Kelly Show. Kelly, I think I've got a love story here.
A love story?
A love story between Harris and Apricot. It's, yes, a love story of star-crossed lovers, otters.
Oh, otter love.
Yeah.
Great.
So here's the thing. Harris lost his best friend and romantic partner, Apricot.
Oh, no, what happened?
So it's a story of love and love lost. Died at the age of 16. He became a lonely bachelor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Soon, he met Pumpkin. Pumpkin
That's great.
Was a lady otter from a different sanctuary. who is also seeking a new man after losing her longtime lover.
Oh, they have something in common.
So the two sanctuaries put them together, and alas, it's utter love. And with that, I'm going to go to the internet, to YouTube.
Here we go.
And search utter love. And with over 1.1 million views.
Oh, wow. You can't be wrong with that.
Here's the sounds, perhaps, of Harris and Pumpkin together kindling their love.
What is that?
I love it.
That is so bizarre sounding.
I think it's the first.
Wow. Like, wow. That is, yeah. That's happiness right there.
That is.
That's Harrison Pumpkin.
Yep.
Riding off into the sunset, living happily ever after together, having lots of little outer babies, probably.
Yes, probably.
Oh, we can only hope.
Yep.
Oh, wow. That sounded pretty aggressive at the end.
So, as you are going through your day today, just know that Harrison Pumpkin have once again, even after they lost love, have found love once again.
That is such a touching story. That's the feel good you needed, right?
I don't know if you remember back in March, we talked to you about a mystery flavor that Twizzlers was going to be introducing, and they challenged people to guess what it was.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of flew under the radar, and really, if I'm honest, we probably only just mentioned it in passing. We didn't spend a whole lot of time on it, you know?
Okay.
Bean burrito was several guesses.
Bean burrito Twizzlers?
Yeah.
Ew.
But yesterday, they... No. I'm saying bean burrito was one of the guesses. That was something that people had guessed as one of the mystery flavors.
Yeah, but still, that's an ew kind of guess. Why would you guess that?
Yeah, so anyways, yesterday they revealed that the mystery flavor they've been teasing people for months with is... Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, Kelly, first of all, what is the real flavor of Twizzlers?
I mean, aren't they cherry? I've never had a Twizzler, to be honest.
Are you kidding me right now?
I'm not kidding.